The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Hey, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Friday, February 10th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I don't know what happened. The Libra meter just dropped right off there, but welcome. Glad to have you here. All sorts of fun happening here at our Shogun Studios here in Little Tokyo. Joining us over here on the other camera, we've, of course, got the lovely Cannabis Carrie. Hi, Carrie. Gotta bring your mic up.
Gotta bring my mic up.
There you are. Carrie brings us our hemp headlines right after the first break. So what's in the news today?
Well, today we're going to go to the state of Tennessee, where the Alcohol Beverage Commissioner has got some press lately for a police report that was released on Monday. Also, we're going to go to the city of Detroit, where we're going to call it a victory for voters' rights. That happened today. Plus, I don't know if you're going to believe this one, blow your mind, a rap star's in trouble over marijuana.
What?
I know. And then I think, Russ, you have a story about the marijuana laws changing in Oregon that we need to let people know about as well.
Everybody thinks Oregon's all, you know, perfect land of opportunity for those of us that are marijuana smokers. But even in a land where it's decrim, even where we've got medical, the opponents of marijuana law reform are out there. They're trying to make things worse for all of us. And I got a terrible story to tell you about a new bill in Oregon. Also joining us here, we got Ganja John on the mic. How's it going, John?
What's up, Russ?
I see that you have been shopping. You've been to the wholesale row.
Yeah, the video you showed yesterday on your YouTube channel, the whole Glass Wholesalers Row. I went down there and picked up some new stuff.
Oh, very, very nice. Yeah. And so you got an ice bong hanging out there? Is that
just a
particular model?
Yeah, no, just a straight piece. I mean, most of the stuff down there was Chinese stuff. It's cheap. I don't care if it breaks, and it's good for travel.
That's right, travel stuff. Also joining us here in the studio, we got a full house here at Shogun Studios. A wave to our Orange County Normal people. Say hi, OC Normal. Our Orange County Normal people are here. We'll get them on the mic as we head into hour two. But coming up on today's show, all sorts of great stuff to get to you. First of all, Carrie already mentioned we're going to bring the hemp headlines to you. And right after that, for a 20 after break, Herb Thrasher is going to call in. He's got some metal from a group called Three that we're going to play for you today. Also, we've got a call in at half past from Jason Flores Williams. He is a new member of the Normal Legal Committee, and he's got a compelling story to tell about how the war on drugs took his father away from him for 35 years, and how that affected his life, his family, and led to him becoming a criminal defense lawyer that he is today. Also, we will be, like I said, visiting with folks here from OC Normal, talking about the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup coming up this weekend. Our live coverage starts at noon, runs till 7 on Saturday and Sunday. Follow us at NormalNet, and you could win cool stuff. Stay tuned. We're back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
On February 11 and 12, the world's premier medical marijuana competition arrives in Los Angeles for the first time ever. That's right. At LA Center Studios in Los Angeles, High Times will once again present the Medical Cannabis Cup. There'll be panels and seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, including doctors, patients, researchers, growers, dispensary owners, activists, and High Times' own cultivation editors Nico Escondido and Danny Danko. And don't miss our Saturday night VIP party featuring performances by Ioto and Seedless. Plus, Wiz Khalifa will be on hand to accept High Times Stoner of the Year. Don't forget our closing night, Cannabis Cannabis Cup Awards ceremony honoring the top indica, sativas, hybrids, concentrates, and edibles entered by California's legally operating cannabis dispensaries and collectives. Go to MedCanCup.com for all the details. Be there February 11th and 12th at LA Center Studios in Los Angeles.
Hi, I'm Radical Russ. One of the best things about marijuana is the wonderful aroma. But when you travel a lot like I do, that aroma becomes a suspicious smell. That's why I endorse stealth-products.com, the leaders in smell-proof containers. From smell-proof vacuum bags to smell-proof backpacks and duffel bags, all the way to smell-proof digital safes, stealth-products.com has you covered. Stealth-products.com brings you safe, secure, odorless layers of protection with activated carbon fiber. Backpacks and duffel bags are simple black so as not to attract attention with a logo or a flashy design. Now, nothing is perfectly odor-controlled from the detection of drug dogs, but with proper vigilance, containers from stealth-products.com will help you avoid nosy humans.
You're now listening to Elliot Beats.
Stealth-products.com. Stealth-products.com. Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of Normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network.
Inhaling deeply all the sacred smoke.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Rap artist and record producer mogul Suge Knight has been arrested and jailed back on Wednesday while he was in Las Vegas. The founder of Death Row Records was in Vegas when he was stopped for a minor traffic offense. Suge Knight, whose real name is Marion Knight, was pulled over for making an improper signal on a turn. The police ran his name, and it turns out that he had warrants for his arrest. Before they took Suge away in handcuffs and before they towed his Bentley truck, the police also found just under an ounce of marijuana. He was jailed and released on $2,600 bail. This isn't the first time that Suge Knight has been in trouble with the law or even arrested for a marijuana charge. In 2008, he was arrested also in Las Vegas for drug possession and assault for threatening his girlfriend with a knife outside of a strip club. Knight may be spending more time behind bars for the incident because he is currently on a 3-year unsupervised probation for driving on a suspended license. Nice. Let you know.
Yeah, that's the legend of Suge Knight. Kind of stunned that guy would get in trouble with the law, isn't it? Hard to figure that one out. I guess maybe they can catch him for weed, but they can't catch him for setting up Tupac's murder. Is that it? Allegedly, I hear. Anyway, we'll talk more about that. We get more details. Back to Carrie.
And also, the director of the State of Tennessee Alcoholic Beverage Commission, Danielle Elks, was not at home last year when a sheriff's deputy went into their house to give her the devastating news that her husband, Joel Taz DeGregorio, longtime keyboardist for the Charlie Daniels Band, had died in an automobile accident. Elks was in Memphis on October 12th that day, traveling on business at the time. Deputies entered her house through an unlocked back door because they said they were concerned that someone inside might be hurt. When they went in, they found a small amount of marijuana out in the open on a kitchen table. Law enforcement records indicate authorities did not launch an investigation nor confiscate anything after that incident last October at Danielle Elk's home. The police reports of the incident were released on Monday. According to Dickinson County Sheriff's Department reports, there was a very small amount of what appeared to be marijuana, some rolling papers on the kitchen table. The report also noted that there was a Governor's Marijuana Eradication Task Force sticker in the kitchen. A Tennessee Bureau of Investigation file showing how the matter was handled went to the Dickinson County District Attorney General, Dan Alsobrooks, who declined to to prosecute. The report said the report and the reasons for not prosecuting are not open to the public, but also Brooks did say publicly when questioned this week that there was just not enough evidence to support any further inquiry and noted that the officers were there to notify Elkins of her husband's death. She is still the head of the Tennessee Alcoholic Beverage Commission, and on her behalf of the commission, and she has not made any comments about the incident.
So in this situation, we're dealing with someone who is part of the ABC, right? Alcohol Beverage Commission.
The director, Russ. She's
right.
The head of it.
But when it's her, they figure, oh, well, this can't be a serious case. Must be something else. Pay no attention here. Nothing going wrong here. That kind of situation. Kind of special treatment, maybe, for someone who's...
That's what people are saying in Tennessee today. I think it's pretty sad. I mean...
Yeah, it's... Well, you know, there is, you know, two forms of justice in this world here, in this country. We see it all the time. The people that are connected, the people that got the money, they don't do the same kind of time. They don't get the same kind of prosecution, same kind of investigation. You know, if she were, you know, some, you know, random person, random pot smoker out there, maybe in a lower class neighborhood, you can bet they'd be breaking down the doors, bringing in the SWAT team, shooting the dogs, you know, doing all the stuff that they do. But because this person's got a government position, they always give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, I'm not saying that they should be punished less or punished more. I'm just saying let's do it all equally. If we can't change the law right now, if we can't make marijuana legal, then at least enforce the law equally. But that doesn't happen either. People get special cases, special consideration, no justice, just us, right? That kind of thing. It's a sad story to hear, but again, we'll keep fighting to change these marijuana laws so that we don't have to, you know, bring you stories like this and the cops can't concentrate on catching real criminals.
And here's a long overdue update. You might remember that I reported on this back in 2010, but the city of Detroit had a chance to vote on decriminalizing the possession of up to an ounce of marijuana back in 2010 as a ballot measure. The voters never got that chance. The Detroit Elections Commission kept the question off the ballot because they said it would conflict with state law if passed. Tim Beck, who leads the Coalition for a Safer Detroit that mounted the citizen petition drive, sued, and a Wayne County judge let the decision by the Elections Commission stand. But just this morning, sticking with it has paid off for the Coalition for a Safer Detroit. An appeals court has decided that the city was wrong and reversed the lower court decision. A 2-1 majority of the appeals panel said city officials did not have the authority to make that determination. The majority of judges in their ruling said, quote, it was outside of the authority of city officials to consider the substance and effect of the initiative, and defendants have a clear legal duty to place the matter on the ballot. Tim Beck called the appeals court decision today a great day for the voter rights in the city of Detroit. Beck also called the effort of the commissioners to deny ballot access as total hocus-pocus, since they did everything correct in the initiative process. If passed, the ordinance would amend the city code to decriminalize the possession of 1 ounce or less of marijuana by an adult. Possession of marijuana by someone other than a medical marijuana patient would remain illegal under state law. An attorney for the group said that the ruling should mean that the issue will appear on the Detroit ballot in August, but cautions us that could change if the city seeks a further court review.
Oh, man. Think about the chain of events that went through since 2010 on this. And it just goes to show you how we get discriminated against in our political process just because we're, you know, supposedly criminals fighting to, you know, get high. Check this out. This is the city of Detroit. They've got an initiative process at the city level, municipal level. The citizens can put together a ballot petition. They can go to their fellow citizens in the city, collect signatures. They follow all the rules. They get all the signatures checked. They're valid. They got more than enough. It's ready to go on the ballot. And some bureaucrat at the city goes, oh, well, no, this would break state laws. We can't vote on it. Look, you are not a judge, Mr. City Clerk, Mr. City Councilman, whoever the hell you are. You are not a judge. See, we have this system in America where there's judges and the legislative and the executive. And the judges get to decide if the legislative's laws follow the Constitution. Or if it's not the legislature, the city council or the people when they come up with their petitions. Judges get to make those decisions. So you don't, as a city council, get to say, no, we're not going to vote on it because if we pass it, it might be found to be, you know, in violation of state law by a judge somewhere. No, he just took it upon himself to say, no, it's weed. Can't be voting on that. And what's maddening about this is this case went in front of another judge. And the judge said, well, yeah, they're right. You know, it would be against state law. We can't go about that. It took another appeal before we finally got a judge, a panel of judges, to recognize, oh, yeah, Constitution, judicial decides whether laws are appropriate constitutionally. Good stuff for Tim Beck out there. And, you know, kudos to Tim Beck and those guys that continue to fight this. And the kind of the silver lining in this is that this decriminalization initiative would have gone on the ballot in 2010 in an off election year. Now it's been delayed till 2012. It'll be on the ballot during an election year and have a much greater chance of passing. And even if it passes and they find out, well, this doesn't qualify because it is unconstitutional or whatever, so what? At least we got the question in front of the voters. We got a majority of the people to support such a thing, and it makes it all that much harder for them to support prohibition as we continue to fight for legalization. Damn right. All right, we got one more story here for you in the news. This is coming from our home state of Oregon. A few stories that I just want to kind of put together here to kind of paint a picture. First of all, the Oregon legislature is considering a new bill that just got submitted, Oregon House Bill 4167, that would raise the fine, the maximum fine, on our decriminalized marijuana. Now, you understand, in Oregon, we're decrim under an ounce. Under an ounce, you can just get a ticket. There's no criminal records, you know, civil procedure kind of thing. Now, a lot of people don't know this. Above an ounce, felony. That's right. 28 grams is a ticket. 29 grams is a felony with the possible 5-year jail sentence, right? But let's put that aside. The misdemeanor, or that minimum decrim that you could get, that under an ounce, maximum fine would be $1,000 right now. This House Bill 4167 wants to raise that maximum fine to $5,000. $5,000 for possessing under an ounce of weed. Now, it makes you question, you know, how much decrim is decrim if you can't afford to pay the fine and then you get contempt of court and then you have to go to jail anyway, right? If the fines are so steep, it kind of goes against the purpose of decriminalizing in the first place. It also goes to show that even in a West Coast state like Oregon, where we have some of the highest statewide allowed limits for medical marijuana patients, and we have decriminalization, one of 14 states that have it, how it just doesn't go far enough. Because if it remains a criminal offense, somebody will try to punish it greater at some point. They will always be tinkering around with the punishments, the fines, the jail time. It has to be recognized as a right. It has to be recognized as something that is part of our personal privacy and constitutionally protected before these shenanigans will stop. Now, to go along with this story, we're also getting a couple of stories, and I found these in the Oregonian and on KTVB in Idaho, respectively. The Oregonian story is talking about Oregon State Police confiscate 35 pounds of marijuana in two separate road stops, people bound for out of state. And in Idaho, an Oregon man arrested for trafficking marijuana, caught with 5 pounds on his way. And this comes on the heels of a bust that they promoted in Idaho a couple of weeks ago, where they caught 69 pounds from an Oregon cardholder. Yeah, I'm an Oregon cardholder. I'm medical. Well, yeah, but you're way above the pound and a half you're allowed to have even in Oregon, and you're in freaking Idaho, man. It doesn't count in Idaho. And the reason you're seeing more and more of these stories, especially coming out of the Idaho media, is because Idaho's got a medical marijuana initiative in the works. It's got a medical marijuana legislative bill in the works as well. So the people are coming at this from the legislature and from the initiative process, and they are trying to construct the tightest regulated. Literally, they looked at New Jersey and thought that was a good model. And that's what they're working off, is the New Jersey model. No home grow, 1 ounce possession, very limited set of conditions where chronic pain, you'd have to jump through like 3 hoops before you can get a chronic pain recommendation. So an extremely limited medical marijuana program. And now the media in Idaho wants to trumpet all of these busts coming from Oregon to try to point out, see if we get medical marijuana, see what's going to happen. Well, what's funny about that is if you get medical marijuana, that's going to help prevent that from happening. The reason the weed is coming from Oregon into Idaho is because the people in Idaho cannot get it. And there are plenty of medical patients. We call them Idaho refugees. Medical refugees who live in Boise, who drive the 50 miles to Ontario to go to their dispensary that they got out there so they can get their medicine that they desperately need. If you want to reduce the trafficking of marijuana, get some access for the patients in Idaho who need that marijuana. It's so frustrating every time you hear these people talk about, well, we can't legalize because then people will be able to get it. Well, the more you legalize, actually, the less problems you have with the trafficking, with the drug deals gone bad, with the cops gone corrupt, with the SWAT raids going into people's homes and shooting their dogs and terrifying their families. This has got to stop. We cannot continue with the status quo of prohibition. We've got to end this marijuana prohibition. We've got to get legalization for everyone. It's a human rights issue. It's a privacy issue. And it's a public health issue. Let's make this happen this year in at least one state, maybe two, three, or four.
I think it's time for a break, right?
Gotcha, John. Always there for the break. All right, we'll be right back hanging out with the OC Normal folks. Back with Herb Thrasher right after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha, ya no puede caminar.
You're listening to Normal Show Live.
Porque le falta marihuana que fumar.
You chipped it.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect, and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Everybody, it's Wiz Calico from the Ivory Island Hour, which comes to you live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific on the Normal Network. I just wanted to let you know that two of my favorite bands are teaming up to spread good vibes across the land and are headed to a venue near you. Revolution is heading out on the second leg of their tour in support of the release of their new triple album, Peace of Mind, which includes full-length acoustic and dub versions. They'll also be joined by our boys from the land of Aloha, The Green. We're also promoting the recent release of their latest album, Ways and Means. You can check out a full list of shows, get the latest swag, and most importantly, find their music at revolutionmusic.com and thegreen808.com. Don't miss this amazing tour. I promise you, after these shows, you'll have peace of mind.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420 friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today, we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday. Our segment features the best of rock, metal, punk, and jam band music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, he's made of metal and he's holding down the fort back in Portland, Oregon. Herb Thrasher on the line. How you doing, Herb?
Okay, man. Another beautiful day here.
Yeah, yeah, having a good time. We're just getting ready for the L.A. Cup. We got the folks from Orange County Normal in the house, and we're all ready to rock.
Yeah, you guys got a whole room full of people ready to rock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I want to remind everyone there won't be an episode of Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher. It'll be the repeat of last week because I'm up here and you're down there.
That's right, man. You guys are got a lot going on this weekend, and so, you know, Normal Rocks will resume next week with another good show, and hope you guys have been checking them out and go back and we're on iTunes now, so you can go back and get some of the previous shows.
Yeah, yeah, and also we're putting the videos of Normal Rocks, we're moving them off Ustream and putting on the YouTube channel, so those should be up pretty soon.
Looking forward to it, man. I hope you guys are checking that out, and we've got other stuff, you know, on the Normal Rocks YouTube channel. There's some interviews and other videos that we're making, so you guys check all that stuff out. It sounds like there's a lot of changes going on with the Normal Network.
You betcha. And I sent a tweet out earlier today to let everyone know, if you're going to be at the Medical Cannabis Cup this weekend, if you come by the Normal booth, say Normal Rocks and throw up the horns, you get a free button.
There you go. That's all you got to do. You guys go and support that event, man. Support rock and freedom.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So let's get to the rock because it's Friday. You know, it's been a weekend. You ain't got shit to do. So
it's time.
Let's get to it.
It's
what do you
time.
Got?
Let's do this. So the band Three from Woodstock, New York, is a band apart. Dark yet uplifting, spiritual without any connection to religion, theirs is a sound that transcends the genre conformity of modern pop culture. Rapid-fire acoustic guitar infused with dynamic percussion, animated drumming, and thunderous bass culminate in a listening experience that is at once accessible and unique. So the song High Times is a catchy and embracing yet progressive heavy tune while keeping strong technical musicianship in the forefront of the song. Check out the album, The Ghost You Gave Me, and support Three and all the great music. You can find them on thethreeband.com, and they're on MySpace, Facebook, and you guys have a great time in L.A., and behave.
All right, we will.
And you guys rock and roll.
Normal Rocks, check it out.
Cheers, High Times.
That's right, every Friday at 8 o'clock. This is Three with High Times. How appropriate for this weekend. Be back right after this. That's Band 3 with High Times. Check it out on Rockin' Fridays. You can get a lot of these songs from our blog at stash.normal.org. If you log in there, just look for the Daily Toker Tunes and you can find a lot of the downloads. We're back with Jason Flores Williams after these messages from our sponsors. Make sure you support Handmade Apparel and the others.
Hey, tokers and tokettes, this is Radical Russ from Normal Show Live. We're proud to be the voice of the marijuana nation and proud to have you on our team. Now, you can represent NSL in your own Normal Show Live gear from handmadeapparel.biz. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel is one of us and a huge supporter of our show. He's designed the classic Blockhead line of NSL shirts, hoodies, hats, and more. Worn by Radical Russ, Cannabis Carry, and Ganja John on the show and at live events, the designs feature their iconic logos and the It's Got to Be 420 Somewhere in the World tagline. Proceeds directly benefit Normal Show Live and HandmadeApparel.biz, one of our community's strongest supporters. You can also get your Cannabis Cure UK, Ganja John Show, Irie Island Hour, and more gear from the Normal Network at HandmadeApparel.biz. Visit HandmadeApparel.biz today.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at NORML.org.
Hey, this is John Popper. You're listening to The Normal Show Live.
Legalize it. Don't criticize.
This is Peter Tosh for NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Did you know that more than 400,000 Americans were arrested last year for the possession of marijuana? People are being sentenced to up to 40 years for even standing beside a joint. Well, I think it is definitely time for you to help doing something towards this. To find out what you can do, just write NORMAL, N-O-R-M-L.
1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 2006. That's 1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 2006.
Help NORMAL to help protect your rights.
In the marijuana law reform movement, the cannabis community is represented by two separate yet equally important groups. The consumers, who use and cultivate cannabis, and the defense attorneys, who represent these consumers. These are their stories. It's time for Reforming Marijuana Laws with the NORMAL Legal Committee.
All right, welcome back. We are joined on the telephone by Jason Flores Williams, a new member of the NORMAL Legal Committee. Jason, are you there?
Doing well, thank you. Yes, I'm here.
Glad to have you on the show, and forgive me for getting things, getting the audio set here for you, because we're on the road in Los Angeles, so we're dealing with some remote problems, but I think we've got everything ironed out here. I'm so glad to have you on the show, and so glad to have you as a part of the NORMAL Legal Committee, because I got an email from I can't remember if it was Keith Stropp or Alan St. Pierre, but they had kind of detailed your story, and it reminded me a little of mine. My father was a poly drug addict, an alcoholic, a traveling musician, and you know, had numerous DUIs and rollover accidents, and you know, thankfully he got treatment and turned out, you know, his life turned for the better, and you know, my life turned out a certain way. Your life had a lot of those kind of parallels, but things took a turn for the worse, and I was wondering if you'd want to share that with us. Tell folks about background and how that led you to becoming a criminal defense attorney.
Okay, well, yeah, I think we had the parallels, but I think mine took a serious detour at a certain point.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the deal: was when I was I was raised out here in Santa Fe, and when I was 11 years old, I came home one day. My dad was kind of came out of the lower classes and did real well for himself. And he had a brother, and there was just kind of this whole side of the family that was kind of somewhat related and involved in this stuff, allegedly, we'll say. And I came home one day when I was 11 years old, and I got sat down and told that my father was being indicted as a drug kingpin. And he was one of the first to get hit. He had a residency out of Texas, so he was they were bringing him to trial out there. And he decided to push it and take it as far as he could go. I can say that on the way to trial, you know, as usually happens in these kind of cases, they seized our cars before he was ever found guilty, froze bank accounts so that my mother, sister, and I were thrown into abject poverty. And eventually the old man got, I was in court that day, the old man got 35 years in prison. So he got 35 years, and on the day that he got 35 years, and there were all these sort of abnormalities and just straight up injustices that were going on, in this trial. For example, they tried everybody together. The judge wouldn't grant, separation. So that the jury's sitting there looking at what looks to them like a cartel. And on the day that he got that 35 years, my entire family got something like in excess of 200 years.
Yeah.
And these guys were just, they grew up as hippies. They had built themselves up in the business world, legitimate business. You know, maybe this was around a little bit and they engaged in it. But, you know, to have an entire family destroyed and my life ripped apart and my mom, my sister just thrown into a kind of hell for, you know, for drugs. It was incredible to me that this happened. And then after that, you know, it's me, my mom, my sister just fighting to survive. And you have the sheriff's department coming around, you know, almost monthly to see if there's anything else that they could take from us. They would just come into our house like they owned it, like Nazi stormtroopers.
Yeah.
And check out the serial numbers under the TV. We finally got a truck. They took the truck so that me and my mom, my sister had to walk, you know, a mile to the grocery store and back. And my mom, who was trying to raise us, and we were living in a real hard area of Albuquerque. We had to move down there because that's what we could afford. She was trying to raise us. The IRS, under community property laws, hit her with a bill for 640 Gs.
Oh, my God.
And said, pay it. And she's part-time at UNM and University of New Mexico and working at a bakery. And she couldn't get welfare because they clipped her and they garnished her on that. And so, you know, for a while there, you know, it was just we were stigmatized and cast out as just drug people. And it was real, real hard going for a while. Eventually, you know, it just led to me dropping out of high school and saying, screw this, and trying to find another way.
You know, that's something, Jason, that I always, you know, when we talk to the drug warriors, they always, one of their calling cards is, what about the children? What about the children? Well, you know, what about the children in your case? Jesus, this is terrible.
Oh, they destroyed us. Near me, it was, you know, I had a pretty nice little childhood growing up. And then, and the next thing you know, it's I was ripped out of it. I was just ripped into one day. I was thrown in this neighborhood where just, you know, I had to fight every day to survive. By the time I was 15, 16 years old, I'd probably been in 60 or 70 serious fist fights. And you know, it's interesting when, you know, people that, you know, they don't like to talk about class in this country, but when you're at one level and then you get thrown down into nothing, you become real keenly aware of class and institutional structures and mm-hmm. the power authorities that exist in this country. And you just know how, you know, as long as you're going along with the plan, maybe a little, you're okay here, but you deviate from that plan, you get knocked down, and you feel how oppressive this country is, especially with regard to the drug war.
Yeah, absolutely. And you end up with this drug war scarlet letter that follows you around and punishes you in ways that are far beyond what any judge sentenced the original person to.
It was like, for me, it was just, you know, it was more internalized than anything else. It was... Because, you know, I felt like I was lower than other people.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're drug people, you're a drug kid, your dad's a drug kingpin, and you're scum. And, you know, when the sheriffs are harassing you at will, and I just have to, a real quick sidebar, just recently I got to throw down a lawsuit against the sheriff's department, and it was one of the most rewarding moves of my legal career. I can tell you that right now.
That's great.
But, yeah, it's real tough trying to crawl out of that.
The audience loves it, too. So Jason Flores Williams, now with the Normal Legal Committee, working criminal defense. How did you go from, you know, dropping out of high school, hating the whole situation, to, you know, obviously getting into college, law school, and doing what you're doing now?
No, I just I figured, you know, like you come out of that kind of thing, it's like you got two choices. Either you can submit or you can fight.
Yeah.
And so first off, you know, I was kind of scrambling around in my 20s just trying to put some together and just trying to, like, more along the activism lines. And then eventually, you know, just, it became clear to me that if you're going to fight this drug war, you've got to empower yourself the best ways you can. There are different avenues you could take. But it just worked out for me that I was able to kind of put the attention toward the legal. And I just made that decision and said, you know, what the hell, man? He said, I want to get on the front lines and get into court and make sure what happened to me doesn't happen to other people. Mm-hmm. And so I just, and that's what drove me. So, you know, law school and all that stuff, that was a piece of cake because I had that kind of inner motivation. And I've been real lucky and honored to be able to walk into, you know, I've walked into households that were the same, almost the exact same households that I was at when I was 12 and this was happening to me, and tell them, you know, over my dead body, is this going to happen to you?
Yeah.
And what's been interesting and really cool lately is that my old man got out. He made it 16 years in prison, the guy did.
Good.
And now, on some of these cases that I'm taking, he's an expert in tax law. He taught himself in the joint.
Okay.
And now he actually helps me with some of the tax repercussions and so the way the IRS tries to clip people. So we've kind of come back together as a team a little bit, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's remarkable. So now working with the Normal Legal Committee, you're in New Mexico, right?
Yeah, I'm in Santa Fe, New Mexico, just okay. Right downtown Santa Fe.
If there's anyone in New Mexico and Santa Fe area that wants to get in touch with you, is having legal problems or just needs advice, is there a website or phone number, anything you can give out for them?
Oh, of course, yeah. They can always. Anybody who's ever up against it with regards to this drug war, I'm always here to help. It's 505-467-8288, and then the email is jfw@jfwlaw.net.
All right. Jason Flores, Williams with the Normal Legal Committee. And so this, you know, your father's out now. You're working together, helping to fight these drug laws. It's amazing, you know, what you're doing and how your story turned out. When you look back at all of the cops and sheriffs that are harassing and so forth, were there any that you found that knew, you know, that you could tell they didn't like what they were doing? They knew what was going on was wrong, but they just, you know, had that Nuremberg defense. They were just following orders. Or was there any that took delight in it, that just, like, enjoyed it, that you could tell they were bullies? I mean, what was the demeanor of the cops throughout your life?
Oh, the bullies.
Yeah.
Bullies. You know, it's like, okay, look, man, if you give, it's just the human condition. What's that? It's like, it's the same syndrome that came out of Stanford, that experiment down there in the 60s where, you know, you made one guy's the authorities and the other guy's the inmates. Was that the Stockholm syndrome? I don't know.
Yeah.
What you call it. But it was the, you get these guys who feel legitimated because of, regardless of how evil it is.
Yeah.
So they're legitimated by this thing called the drug war, and they're brainwashing and thinking of smoking a joint as something that's bad and damages society. And so they use that to justify their own interior weaknesses. And the next thing you know, you've got some jerk cop sitting in a kid's bedroom while the kid's in the corner crying and the cop's looking at his trophies. I'll never forget as long as I live, man. Is I was sitting in the corner of my room and there was a, and the sheriff, it must have been like 24 years old, is in my room. And he says, "What's this trophy for?" And I'm just trying to hang on for dear life. You know, my old man's got sent to prison. And I go, "Well, it's for football." And he looked at me and goes, "You're not big enough to play football." And, you know, where did that come from? It's like, so you're in somebody's house. You've got a woman who's, you know, crying in the corner. And at this point, you just realize that there's the oppressive aspect of the cops as, you know, as the forceful arm of a system that is just at its root core, just totally unjust. And now the real problem now is, regardless of, okay, the drug war is obviously just completely evil, but now is the drug war equals money for these guys. It equals jobs for these guys. Everybody who gets busted, that's another cop they can hire, another fancy gun they can put, you know, they can put in the back of their car. So now it's like they're funding themselves this way. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, so now they have this, they're completely incentivized to just go into people's homes and just keep fighting this horrible war on their own citizenry. And it's just very extremely sad, and we just got to do everything we can to fight against them.
So how frustrating is it to you then when we have a situation like the Leap cop who, you know, Stephen Downing, we interviewed him earlier this week, who gets a question for President Obama, and we continue to tell the administration in every single forum possible, we need to do something about this prohibition, we need to end marijuana prohibition, change these drug laws. And we get laughed off, or we get ignored, or it's just, it's a joke, it's people wanting to get high. How frustrating that must be to you, and how do we get past it? How do we show people your story and have them understand that this is what the drug war really means?
See, this will sound highly skeptical to you, but it's like, I don't think my story, okay, my story in the face of all the money that's being generated right now by the prison industrial complex, it doesn't mean anything, because humanity always fades in the face of cash.
Oh, wow.
So I think the way to beat this now, because now the thing is it's been taken out of the hands of the government, and now it's in the with Corrections Corporations of America and privatized security systems, and the way in which every time someone gets sent to the joint, that's making somebody money now. So in truth, and this will sound really skeptical, and there have been some victories in the drug war, that's for sure, and I want to respect those victories, there has got to be, the way this is won is by presenting the drug war as as being able to create more income than the prison industrial complex. I'm sorry, the green income.
Gotcha.
Drugs, the legalization. The legalization can provide a boost to the economy that the prison industrial complex cannot. And when we can show that the cultivation of marijuana and marijuana sales and all sorts of drugs, the legalization of those will provide more jobs and put money in more people's pockets than prisons will, then that's, I think, will tip the scales and lend us toward the end of this horrible war on legalization.
Yeah, it's like our friend Vivian McPeak says, you know, it'd be nice if they'd end the drug war just because of the humanity of it. But hey, if it's economics that'll get them to change their mind, fine. Let's just outraise them as far as money goes. Show that it's a better economic bet to have marijuana cultivation, sales, taxation, regulation, hemp industries, etc., than it is to keep warehousing us in private prisons. I think you're right there.
Absolutely.
Jason Flores-Williams with Normal Legal Committee out of Santa Fe, New Mexico. I want to thank you for joining us on the show and explaining your story to folks so that they can understand, because, you know, one of the things that we hear, and I've been with Normal for about 5 years now, is I get people, oh, Normal, just a bunch of rich lawyers, just a bunch of lawyers, and I like to bring the lawyers on to show people that, no, this is about humanity. This is about rights and about freedom and justice. And the guys that are doing the work with the Normal Legal Committee are guys like Jason Flores-Williams here who have a serious stake in the game and are really fighting for our freedom. So thank you, sir, for doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you, sir, for your work.
All right. We'll talk to you again sometime.
Very
welcome
good.
On the show anytime. Thanks for joining us.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, when we come back, we are going to be speaking with the crew from Orange County Normal, hanging out with the gang here in our Shogun studios. Stay tuned. It's Normal Show Live.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
Tune in to the Normal Network every weekday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern for our primetime lineup. We begin with an hour of daily Toker Tunes, followed by Normal Show Live and Toker Talk Radio, live from Rolla J Studios in Portland, Oregon. Then you get 2 hours of recorded podcasts from national and international reformers, followed by our late-night live shows at 11 p.m. Eastern. Then the whole six-hour block repeats twice overnight. It's the Normal Network, your source for the best in marijuana media.
Alternative Alternative Medical Choices offers healthcare the way it should be. Easy to access, patient-centered, team-based, and quality-focused. We offer a variety of natural, affordable healthcare treatment options like primary care, group acupuncture, massage, and assistance with OMMP registration. As a patient, you will have a team of experts working with you to make you the best you can be. Call Alternative Medical Choices at 503-288-5579 or check us out on the web at altmedchoices.com.
The most devastating effect of the war on marijuana is that it is a war on everyday people like you and me. All week, we speak to the doctors, scientists, celebrities, and politicians who make up the professionals fighting for cannabis liberty. But we never forget about the tens of millions who use cannabis, the millions who need medical access to cannabis, and the hundreds of thousands arrested every year for cannabis, and the tens of thousands imprisoned under our marijuana laws. At Normal, we are the Cannabis Consumers Lobby, and we take this opportunity to share the experience of our cannabis community.
All right, welcome back, everybody, and we are having a good time here at Shogun Studios. And before we get to our guest, I just want to thank everyone out there who's been donating to Normal Show Live. If you go to our blog at stash.normal.org, you'll see a WePay widget on the side there. We're trying to raise $4,200 by 420, and it helps to cover all these travel costs that we put together. And thanks to your donations, especially, you know, Fingerboard Extension, TGA Genetics, to name a couple of the companies that have donated. We've got some anonymous. We have one anonymous donor who donated $1,000 to help us out. So we want to make sure that we give a shout out to them and thank them for helping us get out here. And we will continue to bring you live coverage of these events as we can continue to afford them. So help. Thanks for helping make it possible. Also, wanted to, you know, speaking of TGA Genetics, wanted to mention that TGAClothing.com is up online right now. You might see Northwest Ski Bum in the background there. He's got some of that. He's going to show off some of that gear here in hour two when we get around to that. But TGAClothing.com, the Team Green Avenger. Ganja John's got the shirt on. You can see that. With a high THC content advisory, recessive genetics. So cool shirts. Those are also, some of those shirts are going to be part of our raffle that we do at the Cup this weekend. So if you're at the High Times Cup, and remember, promo code CANormal if you want to get a 40% discount. If you're out there at the High Times Cup, we will be raffling those off. So we'll have some of those shirts and some of those packs that we raffle off. Okay, so that's all of the paperwork. I'll get that stuff out of the way. Let's go to our guest here, Candace Hawes from Orange County Normal. Hello, Candace.
Hey, thanks for having me on today. I'm so glad that you guys are in town and I get to be here with you live in Los Angeles.
This rules. For those of you who are fans of the Normal Network, you'll know Candace's voice from Hemp Radio.
Yep, that's right. We're so excited to be on the network and we look forward to a long future with you guys.
Absolutely. We're excited to have you on the network, you know, because, of course, you know, right here in Southern California is the ground zero of what's happening as far as, you know, the dispensary battles and the medical marijuana and legalization. So what's OC Normal up to as far as, you know, pushing initiatives or anything?
Yeah. Well, during the summer, we have lots of events planned, or rallies that we usually do. But right now, what we're dealing with pretty much is the different cities. We only have safe access in Orange County in three cities right now. And those three cities are currently working on eradicating the dispensaries in their own areas. So we could here in the close future be without any medical marijuana access in Orange County. And that's the first time in the 9 years that I've been with Normal where it's been this bad. And the problem is that the cities have decided or learned that they can just have their council write a letter to the Department of Justice, and they'll come in and do some raids and then send letters to every single one of the other collectives and be able to successfully get them out of the city. Mm-hmm. And it's really sad because they don't even understand how many people they're hurting and the problems that they're causing. And we've tried with all of these cities for the years to work with them and encourage regulations and talk about how regulations are controlled and, you know, the black market and these gray areas, you know, just leave everything, you know, like the wild, wild west and cause the problems that make them want to do these kind of things. So we've been dealing with Costa Mesa, just had lost all their dispensaries last week. And we're trying to actually do something to secure safe access in Orange County in the future. me and the director of Orange County Americans for Safe Access have started a separate PAC, the Committee to Support Medical Marijuana Ballot Initiative, and we are trying to secure the legal establishment of 20 collectives in the city of Santa Ana. Mm-hmm. Right now they have 62, but we're trying to secure 20 locations because we feel that that's an appropriate number for a city of about 325,000 mm-hmm. Residents. That's like one for every 1,650 people. Okay. So, and we have actually worked with the police commander on these the initiative. We met with Commander Kaminsky, and he told us about some of the problems that he has in the community, things that people have complained to him about. So we've included a lot of these things. So we're really hopeful that the citizens of Santa Ana will support our initiative, and they'll vote it in. And we're also hopeful that the Santa Ana City Council won't retaliate and won't call in the federal government because we're trying to do this. We're trying to do things, you know, the way the Constitution and, you know, our government was democratically created to do. You know, the people feel a certain way, and if their representatives aren't doing it, then it's up to us to do it. So hopefully they don't block us in that.
That's a punk move by these cities, though.
It is. It's low.
Our people want this, but we don't. So we'll go call mommy and daddy. We'll go call Uncle Sam to go tell them no, they can't.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. The people who are locally organized and want something for their local neighborhoods have to bow down to what somebody in Washington, D.C. thinks they ought to be living in Orange County.
Yeah.
It's frustrating as hell, huh?
And they don't understand what they're doing. When they turn these people over to the federal government, the ones that end up having cases, they have no defense, you know? So they're not just removing them from the city, but they're really causing these people huge problems that break up families and put people in jail for, you know, years. Yeah. We have several medical marijuana collectives right now that have federal cases.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just a total waste of resources. You know, the DEA should be spending their time on pills and methamphetamine and crack cocaine. In Orange County, our lead narcotics prosecutor, Jeff Shunk, primarily does medical marijuana cases. And, you know, we've asked the newspapers and him, you know, who's handling, you know, the methamphetamine cases, the pill cases and all those other investigations, because right now they're putting all their resources in medical marijuana.
Yeah. Well, the payoff is there in that, you know, people involved in medical marijuana usually have funds and homes and things to take.
Yeah, exactly.
People involved with meth or crack might have a shopping cart, you know, on the side of the road. There's more incentive for them to go after the medical marijuana. And you know, a lot of times people who aren't educated on this, we're a friendly cooperative group.
Yeah.
Cops come over and we start like telling the truth.
Exactly.
Thinking that we're legal and all, and you know, terrible things happen.
Yeah, and they have been doing that. They've been taking lots of bank accounts, seizing properties. You know, they're making a lot of money off of going after the medical marijuana industry, and it's just frightening right now. Yeah. So we're trying to, you know, really build our forces and get people to stand up to their city councils, because, you know, one or two or 12 of us at a city council isn't going to make it. But we have to start holding these people responsible and recalling them.
Yeah, we can do that. We're going to bring this into hour two and talk more with Candace and the Orange County people, because, you know, getting it straight from the folks that are fighting the battles here in California is very important. But one thing I'll end on is, when you close the dispensaries or you force them to shut down, the people who were using those dispensaries, don't stop using marijuana. They go somewhere else to get it. They find it from somewhere else. Or worse, the criminal element comes in to take care of that demand in unsavory ways. So you're just causing the problem, not solving the problem. But that's all the time we got for the podcast hour. We're going to take it into hour two, like I said. But for Cannabis Carry, Wiz Khalifa, Ganja John, Earl, Omar, Candace, everybody else who's here, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you at the Cannabis Cup this weekend, starting at noon to 7, Saturday and Sunday, right here at live.normal.org. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
We love it.
We love the earth.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.